Welcome to the Climate Report on WFMP FM Louisville. This is Hart Hagen, your host, and we are on episode number 114. Today's topic is Ending Corporate Tyranny, Part 1. We'll be talking about Ending Corporate Tyranny, Part 1, in a few minutes, but first, here's what the Climate Report is all about. So on the Climate Report, we of course discuss climate change. We believe climate change is real and it is urgent. The idea that climate change is real and that it's human-caused and that humans need to act decisively to solve the problem, that is an idea that is supported by a consensus of scientists. And there are no valid, legitimate, credible dissenting voices. The dissenting voices are backed up by billions of dollars of oil company profits. They know that the longer we as a society drag our heels, the more profits they will be able to make. And it is their duty as corporate officers to make sure that happens. Lying is okay if it makes you a profit. Deceit is okay. Intimidation is okay. On the Climate Report, we also look at other threats to our human existence. There are 5 separate and distinct threats to our existence. What they all have in common is that they are caused by corporate greed. So climate change is a threat to our existence. Nuclear weapons are a threat to our existence. The loss of biodiversity is a threat to our existence. A dysfunctional and polluting and highly problematic food delivery system is a threat to our existence. And also, the shortage of clean, fresh water is a threat to our existence. What all of these things have in common is corporate greed. So I would like to draw your attention to a book and movie by Joel Bakken, B-A-K-A-N, called The Corporation, the Pathological Pursuit of Profit and Power. He says, the corporation exhibits many of the traits found in people clinically defined as psychopaths. Psychologist Robert Hare recites a checklist of psychopathic traits and ties them to the behavior of corporations. Number 1 is callous unconcern for the feelings of others. Number 2 is incapacity to maintain enduring relationships. Number 3 is reckless disregard for the safety of others. Number 4 is deceitfulness. Number 5 is repeated lying and conning of others for profit. Number 6 is incapacity to experience guilt. Number 7 is a failure to conform to social norms with respect to lawful behavior. And those are the characteristics of psychopaths, according to Robert Hare, that closely resemble the characteristics of corporations. And that's what we'll be talking about in this episode. This doesn't mean we're making fun of actual persons who have psychopathic tendencies or traits, and we're not making light of mental illness, but you don't take all the power of society and give it to people who have psychopathic traits, or rather, institutions that have psychopathic traits. What we've done in America and around the world is we have decided that money is power, and whoever has more money, who has more power. So if you have 1,000 times more money than somebody else, you have 1,000 times more power. That is inconsistent with what we've been taught about what the United States is about. We've been taught that the United States is about limited powers. Government has limited powers, and the different people in the different branches of government have limited powers. And money has always counted for something, but today more than ever, money means the more you have, the more power you have, and corporations and billionaires have bought our government so that we can say truthfully, more money means more power. And that means we no longer live in a democracy, we live in a plutocracy. Plutocracy is rule of money. Democracy is rule of the demos, or the people. Democracy is based on one person, one vote. Plutocracy is based on $1, one vote. They are entirely inconsistent with one another. and we need to decide going forward, are we going to live in a democracy or a plutocracy? This program is part of WFMP's Public Affairs Educational Programming. The views expressed are those of the speaker and not the station. If you have any comments, questions, or feedback, please email info@theclimatereport.net. So today's episode is Ending Corporate Tyranny, Part 1, and Part 1 is the why. Why end corporate tyranny? Part 2 is going to be how. How to end corporate tyranny. So we're going to be going through a numbered list. I've got 20 answers to the question of why end corporate tyranny. We'll see how many of them we can get through. Item number 1 in why end corporate tyranny is money is power, and power is the power to do harm. Now, it's conceivable that somebody might have power and not use that power to do harm, but that is a rare person. People who have power and don't use that power to do harm are rare and are legendary. People like King Solomon in the Bible, or people like Marcus Aurelius, Emperor of Rome. Marcus Aurelius was thought to be one of the 5 good emperors, and since Rome had many more than 5 emperors, there were a great many emperors of Rome that were thought to not be good. So we don't want to give too much power to too few people, because money is the power to do harm. And it's not enough just to have reforms around the fringes or reforms around the edges. We must take away their power. Now, we can decide where to draw the line between the person who has $1 and the person who has $1 billion. We can decide where to draw the line, but the people who have $1 billion and more, their power must be taken away. Next episode is about how. This episode is about why. Item number 2 in why end corporate tyranny, too much money in too few hands is the power to make war. So there are people who profit from war. There are corporations that profit from war. And it is a long list of corporations that profit from war. It's not just the people who make the weapons. It's also the ones who sell the oil. So those are the ones that are behind the scenes influencing media and influencing government to make war. Now, if the people don't want war and the government does, if the people don't want war but we still get war, then that's tyranny. That is overcoming the power of the majority with a small fraction of people who happen to have power. It's also power without justice. So power without justice is tyranny, and making war when the people don't want war, that's tyranny, and it's unjust. Number 3, too much money in too few hands is the power to trash the economy. So in 2008, the banks trashed the economy. They knew what they were doing. They knew they were enriching themselves. They knew they were enriching themselves at the expense of everyone else. They knew that the economy could not keep going up, up, up forever, and that sooner or later it was going to go back down. They knew what they were doing, and then when the economy went bust, they had the power to persuade the government, namely Barack Obama, to give them money to bail them out, but not to bail out the victims of their crimes. Victims of their crimes included homeowners who lost their homes, or homeowners who bought overpriced homes. What should have happened is that the value of the homes, after they went down, the amount of the loan should have been written down to correspond to the lesser value of their home. That never happened. Some money was set aside for it, but it never happened. So what you had there is that the housing market went down even more than it would have otherwise, because there's this glut of homes that nobody wants, and people can't afford to live in them. Another group of people who were victims of the bankers' crimes is job seekers, not least of all, students. So the economy goes up and then comes down with the crash. It still has not recovered, despite what you hear. The economy still has not recovered. And what the government should have done was to help ease the pain of the homeowners. And what the government should have done is to pay off student debt. That would have actually stimulated the economy. If you want to stimulate the economy, you don't give money to people who don't need it. If you want to stimulate the economy, you don't give money to rich people because they can hoard it. If you want to stimulate the economy, you give it to people who will spend it. But that was never done. So too much money in too few hands is the power to crash the economy and then cause the government to bail out your sorry butt and cause the government to not bail out anybody else but you, even though you're the criminal in this situation. Item number 4, too much money in too few hands is the power to construct an agribusiness situation that is bad for everybody and is completely unsustainable from an environmental standpoint. So we could have small, local, organic farms. That would be better for everybody except the agribusiness corporations. What we have is agribusiness is bad for health, but we could have small, local, organic farms that are good for health. Agribusiness is bad for wildlife, but we could have small, local, organic farms that are good for wildlife. Agribusiness is bad for water quality, but we could have small, local, organic farms that are good for water quality. Agribusiness is bad for pollinators, but we could have small, local, organic farms that are good for pollinators. Agribusiness is bad for land. It depletes the land. But we could have small, local, organic farms that are good for the quality and productivity of the land. So too much money in too few hands is the power to have this agribusiness system that's bad for everybody except a few corporate shareholders in the agribusiness world. Number 5, too much money in too few hands is the power to use the size of your business to drive small local businesses out of business. We see this in the way that Walmart operates, to use unfair trade practices to drive small businesses out of business. Similarly, Home Depot and McDonald's make small local businesses hard to operate. So too much power in too few hands is the power to use the size, to use your size to drive small local businesses out of business. Number 6, let's look at too much money in too few hands when it comes to pharmaceutical companies. Too much money in too few hands is the power to make the government, that is the taxpayer, pay whatever price you demand for your overpriced drugs. It's also the power to make the government fund your research. So pharmaceutical companies who spend more in Washington, D.C. than any other lobbyist, they have the power to make the government fund their research, and then when they get drugs that are marketable, then they have the right to charge exorbitant prices. Number 7, too much money in too few hands is the power to lower wages in the form of opposing raises in the minimum wage. So even though the majority of people want a living wage, even though the majority of voters support a living wage, something on the order of $15 or $20 an hour, too much money in too few hands is the power to oppose that. Number 8, too much money in too few hands is the power to bust unions and to oppose laws that would strengthen unions. So you have the individual, the non-unionized worker, which is over 90% of workers are non-unionized. So you have the non-unionized worker going up against the corporation, which is concentrated power. So individual versus concentrated power, game over. Number 9, too much money in too few hands is the power to have a private for-profit health insurance system that doesn't work for anybody, but it makes money for the health insurance companies. Every other major country in the world has free health coverage as a human right, but we don't because of the power of the health insurance lobby and the pharmaceutical lobby. The majority of Democrats want Medicare for all. The majority of Republicans want Medicare for all, but we don't get it because of the power of the health insurance lobby and the pharmaceutical lobby. The health care that we have is the most expensive in the world. And some people like to defend our system, saying it's more innovative just because we plow more money into it. But those people have been propagandized. More innovative at what? I mean, does our system give better outcomes? By every measure, our system is twice as expensive with outcomes that are not as good as other countries in the world. Even Cuba has health outcomes that are competitive with ours, even though they spend very little on their health care system because they can't spend very much on it because we've got them locked in a stranglehold called an embargo. And yet they have a health care system that is actually a health care system, not a sick care system. It's a system that's based on preventative care. Whereas our system is reacting, you know, curing, making sure people get diseases and then curing the diseases that people get instead of preventing the diseases to begin with. It's a sick system, it's a dysfunctional system, but it's what we have because too much money in too few hands gives people the power to give us a system that doesn't work for anybody. Number 10, too much money in too few hands is the power to buy elections, because that's, you know, we could have government-funded elections. We could have publicly funded elections, but that's not what the corporations and billionaires want, because they would rather live in a plutocracy. They're glad we don't live in a democracy. We have the form of democracy, but when it comes to actual policies, the rich get what they want, the corporations get what they want, and the rest of us get what we don't want. Number 11, too much money in too few hands is the power to rig with fraudulent voting systems. There is plenty of evidence. Now, I don't pretend to be an expert on this particular topic, but credible sources that I trust say that the computerized voting systems that we have can be shown to have statistically to have thrown elections, especially toward Republicans. At the very least, we should have voter verifiable paper ballots, because it's the computerized systems that give you problems. Nothing says we can't have a computerized system, but you need to be able to recount the ballots in such a way that the voter can verify. Otherwise, you've got nothing. Item number 12, too much money in too few hands is the power to create a two-party duopoly. Democrats and Republicans have so little difference and so much in common that it's basically a monopoly, and they collude with each other to keep third parties out of presidential debates, for example. They collude with each other to keep election systems that prevent third parties from having a meaningful chance. What we could have is ranked choice voting, to where you rank all the candidates, and if your first choice doesn't win, it automatically goes to your second choice. That would prevent people from having to vote for the lesser of two evils, voting for the Democrat because they don't like the Republican, or vice versa. You should be able to vote for the candidate that you like best, and if that candidate doesn't win, your second choice counts. That's called ranked choice voting, and the states and localities could have a system that works just that way. But we have a two-party duopoly, and that's what you have when you have too much money in too few hands. You want people to have the illusion that they are participating in a democracy without it being an actual meaningful choice. So there's procedural democracy and there's substantive democracy. Procedural democracy is what we have where people go through the motions and feel like they're casting their vote. But if both candidates are pro-war, is that a meaningful choice? If both candidates are owned by the big banks, is that a meaningful choice? If both candidates have been bought by the pharmaceutical companies, is that a meaningful choice? Substantive democracy is where you have meaningful choice, and we usually do not have that. Now, in the recent election in New York, District 14, where you had Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez unseat a 20-year, 10-term incumbent, Crowley, that was a meaningful choice. The voters had a meaningful choice. AOC did not accept corporate money, so that was a meaningful choice. AOC had policies that spoke to the needs and concerns of the people, whereas Crowley didn't. Number 14. Now we're getting into some environmental issues. Number 14, too much money in too few hands is the power to legalize fracking. That means hydraulic fracturing. That means a new quote-unquote technology, a new technology that allows people to get a lot more oil and natural gas out of the ground. If people knew what the facts are with fracking, they would be opposed to it because it pollutes the air, it pollutes the water, it gives us way more fossil fuel emissions than we need. Fracking uses huge amounts of water, so we have water scarcity anyway. We need to save our water for drinking water. We need to save our water for wildlife. We need to save our water for farming. But too much money in too few hands is the power to buy the right to frack for oil and natural gas, and that's what we have. Number 15, too much money in too few hands is the power to have plastics and petrochemical plants. So in Louisiana, they have a whole series of plastics and petrochemical plants, and it's called Cancer Alley because it has such a devastating impact on human health. They have the same thing in Houston, which just caught fire. The petrochemical plant caught fire and burned for 3 days in Houston because the power, too much money in too few hands is the power to buy the right to do that kind of manufacturing work. Now they want to build one in the Ohio Valley, a whole 400 miles of petrochemical plants in the Ohio Valley. And too much money in too few hands gives people the power to do that. A Chinese company has committed $80 billion to their investment in these petrochemical plants. Much of them are in West Virginia. The state of West Virginia has a budget of $5 billion. Look at the difference between $80 billion and $5 billion. The entire state of West Virginia has a budget that is 1/16th of the investment from the Chinese. And they're not the enemy because they're not, the Chinese are not our enemy. The enemy is people who have too much money. The state of Kentucky has a budget of something on the order of $25 billion, less than half of the $80 billion investment on the part of the Chinese. The state of Ohio has a $65 billion budget. And Ohio is one of the most populous countries, one of the most populous states in the Union. I think there are only five states that have more population than Ohio. We have New York, California, Texas, Florida. I can't think of another state that has more of a population than Ohio. Their budget is $65 billion, which is less than the $80 billion investment that the Chinese are putting into this. So this $80 billion investment dwarfs the state budgets of all the relevant states, West Virginia, Kentucky, and Ohio. So how can West Virginia and Kentucky withstand the lobbying power that $80 billion brings in? And yet, what they want to bring in is one of the dirtiest, most polluting industries known to man. Number 16, too much money in too few hands is the power to make war with the climate. Fossil fuel companies, oil companies, natural gas companies, fracking companies, petrochemical companies, agribusiness companies, all of these are heavy polluters, heavy emitters of carbon dioxide, and even heavy emitters of methane, which is a very serious greenhouse gas. Too much money in too few hands is the power to buy the government so that you can continue to make war with the climate. Too much money in too few hands is the power to buy the media so that you can manipulate public opinion so that you can continue to make war with the climate. So we've got about another 3 minutes left. Let me try to wrap it up and give you something to think about. What I've tried to do is make the case for a couple of main points here. One is that we have a lot of money concentrated in a few hands. You know, we hear about wealth inequality, and there are people in our society who don't think that's a problem. People typically who call themselves conservatives, although, you know, we need to speak to their true conservative values and ask them, does conservatism mean you have a whole lot of money concentrated in a very few hands? But nonetheless, people who consider themselves conservatives don't think it's a problem to have lots and lots of inequality because they've been indoctrinated into the idea, and this includes moderates too and many liberals, but they have been indoctrinated into the view that says, you've got a lot of money in a few hands, but those people basically earned it. That's one fallacy, that to think that people who have money necessarily earned it. And even if they didn't, what are you going to do? Have, a heavy-handed authoritarian state communism? Well, nobody I know wants that. But there has to be a way of dealing with corporate power. So there are many ways to deal with corporate power, and that's what the next episode is about. This episode has been why we need to end corporate tyranny. The next episode is about how to end corporate tyranny. But it was none other than a Republican, Theodore Roosevelt, who gave us the antitrust laws. In that day, trust meant corporation. So they were anti-corporation laws. They said when big corporations get too big, the government has the power to split them up. And that's how the fortune of John D. Rockefeller was dealt with. Actually, he came out of it with even more of a fortune than he had before, but at least the companies were split up and were no longer under the control of a few people. But we have a choice. We can be a nation of entrepreneurs, or we can be a nation of corporate monopolies. We cannot do both. We can give all the business opportunities to small, scrappy business people, or we can give the opportunities to big, lumbering corporate monopolies. We can't do both. These corporations have wrapped themselves in the American flag, when they have no loyalty whatsoever to the United States or any other country. We can end corporate tyranny, and we must. Tune into the next episode, and we'll talk about how. That's all for today. Have a great day. Thanks for joining me. Come back soon.